CEOs, civic leaders, entertainers, and entrepreneurs. They all have something in common: the drive, vision, and heart to achieve success. Steve Klein is a renowned business consultant, author, and host of Playmakers Talk Show. Each week, he introduces you to fascinating personalities who will inspire, educate, and motivate you to persevere and find your own success. And now, here's Steve Klein.
An unknown author said, "To play the game is great. To win the game is greater, but to love the game is the greatest of all." Welcome to Playmakers Talk Show. I'm Steve Klein. In the studio today are two playmakers who love the game. Our first playmaker was president of the National Baseball Hall of Fame, while our next playmaker has over 5,000 temporary housing units available worldwide. With us today is a CEO who accompanied President Reagan to his historic first meetings with Mikhail Gorbachev. Well, our next CEO's company has been recognized in the Inc. 5000 for three consecutive years. These great playmakers are Dale Petrosky. Dale is president and CEO of the Dallas Regional Chamber. And Tammy Gillespie. Tammy is president and CEO of Switch Place. We'll begin today's show with Tammy. Tammy Gillespie founded Switch Place in 1998, a global temporary housing company that provides transitional accommodations and related services to support businesses and their employees during relocation, business travel, temporary assignments, and a variety of project-related needs. Switch Place has locations in the Americas, Singapore, and London, and has experienced significant growth over the past 3 years. Switch Place has been recognized in the prestigious Inc. 5000 for three consecutive years, and in the Dallas 100 as one of the fastest-growing private companies in North Texas. Tammy's leadership strategy continues to build a global brand focused on providing unique, customized corporate housing options to meet the needs of their client base. Well, Tammy, welcome to Playmakers Talk Show.
Thank you.
Well, you have an interesting background, but I want to go all the way back to college. How did you move from a BA at A&M in physical sciences to the corporate housing industry?
Well, as a lot of young folks, I guess you could say, I didn't really know what I wanted to do when I grew up.
Well, that's typical.
And I was good in science, and so I kind of ventured in that, you know, in that major, thinking that I might do something in pharmaceutical sales. I knew I always wanted to be in sales in some capacity. And I had already gone down the science road, and I had so many credits, I just needed to finish up in the science field. That is correct.
Well, let's talk about the corporate housing business. We talked about that because you had another name for your company, a different name that Switch Place a while back, and that was rather limiting. But talk about who you place and what you do for companies.
Sure. So what Switch Place does, what the industry does, we're a temporary housing provider. And or a corporate housing provider.
And when you say temporary, could this be a few days all the way to a few months, a year?
Typically, our stay, and I say typically, and I'll back up and redefine that. Our stay is 1 month minimum and over, of course. However, we are starting to experience a change with some of our clients, and they are asking us to provide them with shorter term accommodations, meaning booking hotel rooms for them, just to meet their needs and make their lives easier. Because Switch Place, our success has been we're good at catering to the needs of our clients. But to answer your question, 30 days is our minimum stay. However, we are looking into changing that up a bit.
Well, I understand your current unit count is around 500 units, but you swell sometime about 1,000. But if a client calls and say, "I need to get one of my people to China," would you be able to find location for them?
Absolutely.
So wherever they want to go, you'll be able to take care of that for them.
That is correct. We actually have an office in Singapore that would handle, our APAC region would handle China, and we have an EMEA region and I say region, we have an office in APAC and an office in the EMEA region, and those people on ground in that area, with our help here in our headquartered office in Dallas, work together to find that need.
What I'm hearing is, I'm hearing between the lines, you may be in the corporate housing business, but you're basically in the service business.
We're absolutely in the service business.
You're taking care of those people to be accommodated wherever they want to be.
That is correct, yes.
So who's your target market? Who do you work with primarily that you are placing employees in additional housing?
Our target market, we're business to business. So we don't deal with the individual. We deal with the corporation, HR department typically, or their travel department within a corporation. And they will call us directly and with a need or needs. A lot of times it's project business, which is, you know, multiple units. So corporations would be our target market. And also relocation companies is a big source of business for us as well.
We're speaking with Tammy Gillespie. Tammy is CEO of SwitchPlace, which is corporate housing. You're not unique in the industry. There's a lot of other companies, a lot of competitors. What makes you different in the corporate housing community?
Well, we are very customizable. We cater to the needs of our clients, which means they they will come to us, for instance, and say, you know, you've done such a great job for us domestically. We need you to be in China. We need you to be in London. Hence, now we are a global housing provider.
Which is how you've grown, because you gave us such great service.
Correct. So we're customizable. We our service is it makes us stand out with our competitors. We are we're a very fast-paced industry, and my office success or my company success is based on the people that I have, my team.
Let's talk about your people. What makes
sure.
them different? Apparently, you have hired the right kind of people for your business, and they're service people. Talk about your team a little bit.
Well, I can't say enough fabulous things about my team. My team, they're dedicated. They, first of all, you have to like the industry, which is very, very fast-paced. We've got to get things done. We've got to get things done quickly. We have to put the client first. We all have to get along. We have to roll up our sleeves. And we have to get the job done. And I have managed to, along with help from a fabulous leadership team that I have, managed to put the right people in the right positions. And we've become very good at knowing who's going to succeed in this industry or not. And right now, we've just got a team in place that I couldn't be more proud of. And really, it's all about people, not only our clients, not only the people that we house, but it's also about the people that make SwitchPlace.
Well, you obviously have a great leadership style to be able to find the right kind of people. The question I have, what is the SwitchPlace Foundation?
Well, service. We have a very good culture. We emphasize integrity. We emphasize giving the best service out there. We emphasize people, respect, being able to jump in there and help one another out. And again, I know I keep talking about the people, but that's our industry. That's what we do. It's about making our clients' lives easier and enriching the lives of our team members. And I would say that's...
Well, you don't have inventory. You have, believe you have access to more than 5,000 units throughout the world. You don't own any of those. You have no tangibles. It's all about how you take care of the client. Because when they lay down and fall asleep that night, they could be any place, but it's what you're doing for them to take care of them when they're in a place that is not normal for them. They like getting in their own bed, and now they're traveling all throughout the world, and you're finding the right place for them. So when clients come to you, do they have specifics in terms of the kind of unit, the kind of housing or hotel they want to get to?
Yes and no. It's pretty basic. So we are an alternative to a hotel. So when we set up somebody in temp housing, it's a, and again, this changes from market to market. Domestically, it's pretty standard. But when you're venturing overseas into, you know, in internationally, the product, when I say product, the unit changes because it's not the same everywhere, obviously. It is a basic setup. Furniture is included. Housewares are included. It's a turnkey type situation. Dishes, linens, everything is provided, phone, internet, cable. It typically doesn't get customized unless the client says, hey, I need some extras or I need you to customize this based on this person's request, that sort of thing. But for the most part, 99% of the time, it's a very comfortable place to hang your hat for 3 months.
And you're making it more like home for them.
Exactly. They don't have to check into a hotel and live out of a suitcase for 3 months.
Well, the question I want to ask you, what is the secret to your success? But I think I heard a piece of that, and that was your people. So go ahead and elaborate. Why are you so successful?
I would say two things. My team and the way we approach our the dedication that we have towards our clients and realizing that if it weren't for the client, there would be no switch place. And so our customization to fit their needs and to make their life, and when I say their life, our contact at a particular corporation, make their life more efficient to make them look good.
And that's the bottom line. Well, tell everybody one more time how they can find out more about Switch Place.
Well, you could go onto our website, which is www.switchplace.com.
And that's the best place to.
That would be the best place. Yes.
Well, Tammy, thank you very much for being a part of Playmakers Talk Show.
Thank you so much, Steve.
Tammy Gillespie is CEO of Switch Place. Don't go away. We have more. We're going to speak with the CEO of the Dallas Regional Chamber. His name is Dale Petroski. Back with Dale right after this.
Wipe Out Kids Cancer is a Dallas-based nonprofit organization founded in 1980 dedicated to raising awareness and funding for pediatric cancer research on a national basis. Wipe Out Kids Cancer has raised over $4 million in the crusade against pediatric cancer and spent over 30 years developing programs to not only fight childhood cancer, but to also provide hope and support to kids and families battling cancer. Our mission is to work relentlessly for a day when children are living cancer-free. You can help make a difference. Go to WOKC.org to donate or volunteer. That's WOKC.org.
Operation Kindness is the original and largest no-kill animal shelter in North Texas, having saved more than 80,000 cats and dogs over almost 40 years. On a day-to-day basis, Operation Kindness cares for approximately 300 cats and dogs, with another 150 in foster homes. In the past 12 months, more than 4,200 homeless cats and dogs have received medical care, clean shelter, nutritious food, and playtime until they were adopted into a new forever home. Go to OperationKindness.org to adopt or foster a dog or cat. Donate or volunteer. That's OperationKindness.org.
And welcome back to Playmakers Talk Show. This segment, we're going to speak with the President and CEO of the Dallas Regional Chamber. Dale Petroski assumed the position of President and CEO of the Dallas Regional Chamber in April. The DRC serves more than 2,000 member companies to increase economic prosperity and enhance the quality of life throughout the region. Early in his career, Dale worked 18 years in Washington, D.C., where he served as chief of staff to Congressman Bill Goodling, assistant White House press secretary to President Ronald Reagan and Elizabeth Dole. Dale was a senior vice president at the National Geographic Society, vice president of public affairs for Occidental Petroleum, president of the National Baseball Hall of Fame, and executive vice president of our own Texas Rangers. Now, the Dallas Regional Chamber focuses on economic development initiatives, improving education at all levels, and setting public policy direction designed to maintain a healthy business climate in North Texas. Well, Dale, welcome to Playmakers Talk Show.
Great to be with you, Steve. Thanks for having me.
A lot to talk about, but I want to ask you a question going back to college. Your major is, you had a major in journalism, minors in sociology and poli-sci at Michigan State. Did that help you get in the political arena? Was that your career path that you wanted to get into?
It was. You know, my first job out of school was in the state legislature in Michigan, in Lansing, Michigan. I worked for the House Republicans back in the late 70s. And in those days, of course, Democrats ruled, and they ruled the country, but they also ruled the state of Michigan. And so there are 110 members of the Michigan House, and 40 of them were Republicans. So that meant 70 of them were not Republicans. So we were in the deep minority, but I worked for 40 members of the Michigan House. I was an assistant press secretary, wrote press releases and did radio actualities and sent them out to stations and so forth. So I was pretty much low man on the totem pole right out of Michigan State.
Well, with your background in journalism, was PR where you wanted to go?
I think so, yeah. In those days, I really wanted to be more in PR than journalism. I thought journalists, forgive me if I'm wrong about this, but were a little bit hard-edged and a little bit cynical. Didn't fashion myself as very cynical and thought I was better on the PR side of things. Though I'm a news junkie and I have great admiration and respect for great journalists, but that's the route I chose.
And that led your path to working in the White House with President Reagan. Did that come naturally, or were there a couple of stops in between?
I'll tell you a story about it. I ran a successful congressional campaign for one of the state reps I was working for in Michigan. That's how I got to Washington. And I was a press secretary for him on Capitol Hill. And then I was later a chief of staff for Congressman Goodling of Pennsylvania. And Congressman Goodling had one big event in his district every year, and he would invite a Washington name to come up to York, Pennsylvania, and have this dinner. And so the first year I was his chief of staff, it was James Baker, who was President Reagan's chief of staff at the time. And the second year it was Larry Speaks. Larry Speaks was the president's press secretary. And on that morning, the congressman called me and said, I can't come up with you, so make sure that you fly up with Larry. We traveled on a little government plane, a four-seat plane, and make sure when he's in the room and I'm busy that he gets, you know, introduced around and so forth. Then you'll go back with him to Washington. So Larry and I, just the two of us, flew up together, had a great time, found out Larry loved baseball, loved to talk baseball and sports. I asked him about the White House. He asked me about the Hill, what was going on in the Hill. And we had a great time, had a great evening, flew back together. The next day I wrote him a little note telling him how much I enjoyed it. He wrote me a note, and that was it. And didn't talk for 2 years until one day I'm sitting in my office on Capitol Hill, and my phone rings. And my assistant said, Dale, I've got Larry Speaks on the line. And I said, really? And so I picked up, and Larry said, hey, long time no talk. And I said, yeah, how you been? He says, doing great. He said, listen, I know you're busy, and I'm busy too, but I'd like to talk to you about coming down here and working for the president and me.
And he said, a conversation.
He said, when can you come down and talk? And I was so flustered. I said, first of all, we got to talk to my boss about this. And I said, let me get back. Let me put you on hold for a minute. I put him on hold, and I'm looking at my calendar, and I said, how about Friday? It was Tuesday now. This is 3 days. And he said, well, I guess, you know. And so we set up for Friday. And when I hung up, I thought to myself, you dummy. I mean, you're giving yourself 3 days to think about this? This is crazy. So I went in and we talked about it. And he said, what do you think? And I said, what do you mean? He says, well, do you want the job or not? And I said, I didn't believe it. I said, you're telling me that you're offering me a job in the White House to work for you and the president, I said, if I walked outside the gates here and put a quarter in the payphone and called my wife, I can tell her that? And he says, yes, that's what I'm saying to you. And so that was as simple as that. It was a one-night trip with Larry Speaks, and then 2 years later, an invitation to come down to work for the president.
Well, that tells me one of two things. Either you made a great impression on him, or there weren't a lot of candidates that had the skills you had.
Well, I don't,
or a combination of both.
Yeah, I don't know what it was. Larry did tell me later, and the staff told me that the next morning at the staff meeting, he held up my card and said, if we ever have a person to hire here, this is the guy we're going to hire. And so he said, I put your card right in my top drawer, and when the position opened, I gave you a call. So,
well, that's a good example of you never know where a relationship is going to take you. And make sure you treat that person right.
I tell my kids, I have three grown children, and I say, work when no one's watching. If you have to work at 3 a.m. and nobody's around, and you know you need to be there to get the job done, you have to work when no one's watching. But when you are working, you work as if everyone's watching, because people are paying attention all the time.
Absolutely. Very good. I've heard that before, and you said it even more eloquently than I've heard it. Let's talk a little bit about baseball, because you were running the Cooperstown, which is the center of baseball for anybody here in the United States. How did you get that position running the Hall of Fame?
So I had been at National Geographic now. I had left the White House, went to transportation for a year, and then had 12 great years at National Geographic, was loving National Geographic. I was a senior vice president, one of the top five at the Geographic. And one day, a friend of mine who had a summer home in Cooperstown called me up and said, Dale, there's a job you need to have. And I said, I already got the job I need to have. And he said, no, I mean it. He said, president of the Baseball Hall of Fame. Everybody in Washington knew that my real, true first love, other than my wife, was baseball. And so because I just loved it as a little kid, I played on two national championship teams growing up. I played with 10 guys who eventually made the major leagues.
What was your position?
I was a second baseman. I was a leadoff hitting, switch hitting second baseman. And they knew that I just loved the game. And my brother and my friend and I had founded the Mayo Smith Society in 1983. Mayo Smith was the last manager to guide the Tigers to a world championship back in 1968. So my brother and Bill McKay, our good friend, and I founded on Capitol Hill a little group called the Mayo Smith Society, and we met for breakfast on Friday mornings, Democrats and Republicans, and the only rule was we were only going to talk baseball at breakfast, no politics. So
you all got along well together.
We made great friends with Democrats, and there were lots of Republicans and Democrats who really didn't mix very much otherwise, but they just love the Tigers together. So we founded this organization, and it got attention in the Wall Street Journal and so on and so forth. So people knew about us and knew about our love for baseball. And my buddy had known that for a long time. And so he called and said, I think you're the guy for this job, your White House experience, your National Geographic experience, and your love of baseball. So I threw my hat in the ring and didn't expect to be named, but I was chosen and had 9 wonderful years in Cooperstown.
That must have been just a thrill for you to be where it all was put together.
Well, Don Sutton, who's the great Hall of Fame pitcher, said to me the first day he met me, he said, you know, they've just handed you the keys to the Vatican. And I told him I understood.
It's about as close as you can get here in the United States.
I told him exactly. I understood exactly what he meant. One of the great moments for me was the first week on my job was the biggest induction in history. I started on Monday, and that following Sunday, Nolan Ryan, George Brett, Orlando Cepeda, and Robin Yount were inducted. And there were 50,000 people there. And this was all brand new to me. I had no context for it at all. I asked my father to join me for that first week because my dad was the guy who put the baseball glove on my hand when I was 5 years old and taught me to love the game. And so we have a reception the first night where all the living Hall of Famers and their wives are coming through the receiving line, and I'm now receiving them into the Hall of Fame. I mean, and so it's Yogi Berra and Carmen, and it's Whitey Ford and Joan, and it's Lou Brock and Jackie, and it's, you know,
these guys you looked up to.
Oh, these were my heroes, you know, everybody from Reggie Jackson to Dave Winfield and all these great guys. Anyway, Stan Musial. So I look over. I had a break for a minute. I look over and see my dad over there, and he's sipping on a glass of wine, but just tears just running down his cheeks. And so later that night, we were going back to our place to stay, and I said, "Dad, I couldn't help but notice." And I looked over, and you know, and you seem to be a little bit emotional. Everything okay? And he says, "Yeah, I just never dreamed that when I was playing catch with you and you were 5 years old, you're going to grow up to be president of the Baseball Hall of Fame." And so that was a great moment, my first week on the job.
Well, that's about as close as you can get instead of making the bigs, being with all the bigs right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, and I was with them a lot. I know them very, very well. Many of them are still great friends.
Well, you've had quite a career. You've developed quite a Rolodex, too, with all the people you know. You are now the CEO and president of the Dallas Regional Chamber. And from what I understand, this is, as far as you're concerned, your most important role. Why is that?
Yeah, I, of all those jobs and all the roles that I've had, this is the one I enjoy the most, and I think it's the most important because we do important work here every single day. You know, we work to bring more and more companies and jobs to this region, which helps the economy and strengthens the economy, an already very strong economy, as you know. We work hard to make sure that a three-year-old starts the education pipeline in pre-K and goes all the way through, and we want to make sure that they are getting a good education all the way throughout, not falling through the leaks in that pipeline, and get to the end and there's a good job at the end for them so they can have a good job and a good life and a good future. And you know, it's just we work on public policy issues. With the growth that we are experiencing, it's very important that we keep up with the infrastructure,